Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's right, baby. We are live and kicking. Always well, good hey, to get boys. The handoff. Sorry, Laura. I didn't mean to step on your toes.
That's
right
rude,
there, Mama.
Dude.
Yeah, it's disrespectful. I usually don't. I talk over you, not women in general, but you, I don't mind doing. We are live and kicking. I want to start this thing off by letting everybody out there know Thursday and Friday we will be out on the road. Buffalo Wild Wings. Off 59, 21372 US 59 in Houston, Texas, baby. Buffalo Wild Wings.
Right near New Caney.
There you go, up in New Caney. I knew there was a city next to it. New Caney, the New Caney location. To hell with all them numbers. And 59's a long highway. You don't need no numbers. We're up in New Caney, baby. Buffalo Wild Wings on Thursday. Big shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings for sure, but Bud Light as well for making that happen. Come out and hang with us. If you ain't up in that neck of the woods, find you a Buffalo Wild Wings somewhere on Thursday. And enjoy what Thursday brings. And then Friday, BB's, baby. BB's in Kingwood. Come check us out for our football Friday. BB's, man. I had a little gumbo last night from BB's, boys. I had the Legends golf tournament yesterday.
Good
went
group.
Out there representing the Sports Radio 610. I come around the old corner, and there's a tent sitting right there with that big BB's logo on the top. I said, ooh. Let me get up there. They're going to have some drinks and some grub, boys. And I got around there, and they had some gumbo. I went ahead and grabbed two. It was late in the tournament. I said, let me go and get two of them. Look like you're trying to get rid of these.
Smart.
I had two of them. Gumbo is absolutely tremendous. I'm going to be honest with you, though. The Cajun food that BB's puts out at all their locations is off the charts. I've not had a bad item at any of them. So I'm looking forward to football Friday. That is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as all of our Houston area Ford dealers making that right there happen. So come on out and see us, man. Again, New Caney, Buffalo Wild Wings or on Thursday, or Kingwood BB's on Friday. We will be up there. For now, Ron the Show, Ugly is out. My boy Luke Morrow is in. And guys, I'm going to be honest with you, I can't let that one go. I'm listening to this worst team ever, this worst team in the last 25 years combo they're having. And I wanted to climb to that damn radio if they didn't mention that 2021 Texans team.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying we got to start this thing off negative, but damn, that was just what I heard on the way in. I thought, ooh.
From Kaylee on down.
Ooh, come on now.
Not Kaylee.
Come on now. Luke Morrow, what's going on, my man?
Oh, not much. Hey, good to be here. Always good to be in with you fellas, filling in for Ron. But yeah, I mean, a lot's going on. You feel good about the Rockets last night to try to put a positive spin after those that thinking back to the 2021 Texans. Put a positive spin. Feel good about the Rockets last night. Looking forward to Monday night with the Texans getting back in. So it's all
That's
good
right.
to go.
A lot of good going on for sure. The wife is happy. The bills are paid. The kids are healthy. Hell, last time I checked, that was pretty solid. And like you said, we got a Rockets team that'll turn you on now. We got a Rockets team that'll turn you on and a Texans team that I'm not real sure what they're going to do for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you may want to take them on a few dates before you get them home because I don't know what they're going to do moving forward. But speaking of the Houston Texans, boys, this is big here, Luke. And when you sent this in, I said, oh, this is good. We got to start with this. Is Monday night Texans Seattle Seahawks in prime time on the road with a huge amount at stake. Now, you can define it however you want to define it. The Texans can get to 3-3 and come home with three straight home games and have a chance to after beating a Seattle team, to have a real chance to feel like you can get north of 500 and you can get this thing right and you can get back in the thick of things with the way the AFC's unfolding here. Or you slide to 2-4 and you down there keeping company with the Bengals and the teams that are going the wrong direction. I mean, that's what's at stake with the Texans. I want to ask everybody this, 713-572-4610. Text in, call in. Is Monday night the last chance to buy into this iteration of the Houston Texans? D'Amico Ryans. I'll start with Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Cayley, if you will, C.J. Stroud. Is Monday night the last chance to buy into this iteration of the Texans? Luke, what do you say?
Yeah, I think so. I know it might sound harsh because it is still after Monday night. We'll be just past the first third of the season, the 33% mark of the season. But it's more so of how they would have gotten to this point. And this is talking about if they were to lose Monday night, they would be 2-4. But it's not the fact that just the fact that they're 2-4 because the AFC and the NFL right now is so wide open. It's just more of that feeling of at 2-4, you would look at the schedule and they would have beaten the two worst teams on their schedule, two teams that have a combined two victories, and then be 0-4 against the good teams that they've played. And at a certain point, you have to be able to beat good teams to be able to be considered a good team. And while it's still early in the season and they would be heading home for three straight at home, my whole thought process would be, hypothetically speaking, if they were to lose Monday, is that it would be hard for me to buy in this idea of, well, they'll just win the next three at home, because to that point, we will have seen them beat zero good teams and should have no faith or give them the benefit of the doubt that, oh yeah, they'll just return home next week, win the next three at home, no problem. So I think Monday is that opportunity of, you just played well the last 2 weeks, you're coming off the bye, here's your chance to show that what we saw against the Titans and the Ravens is legitimate and not just about the competition, and to show that you can hang with some of the good teams in this league and not start 0-4 against the four good teams you've played on your schedule.
Yeah, look, I'm with you 100%, Luke. I think this is that big of a football game. I think what's at stake is right now there's a lot of fans, there's a lot of people, hell, probably people over in that building. In fact, I know there is, we've heard it, that hang their hat on, well, you know, man, we played some really good football teams early. You look at Jacksonville, you look at Tampa Bay, you look at the L.A. Rams, and there's really good football teams. We played them, you know, down to the tee. A couple plays would have gone our direction, a fourth down versus Tampa, a turnover versus the Rams. You know, then we, our record could be totally different. I think right now, you can legitimately still hang on to that and with a straight face say, boy, I feel good about the Texans. Secondly, there's the momentum that you speak of after the Baltimore win. I mean, the Baltimore win and the Tennessee win, right? You go to Seattle, can you keep that momentum rolling and bring it home? You go to Seattle, can you beat a team that's a call them a fringe playoff team that's really hot right now, or call them a true NFC contender on that side of the league, whatever you want to call them, they're better than anything you've beaten to date, right? And if you beat that team, you can swing this thing in a major way, not just our confidence and not just our support and not just our excitement as fans, but also, you know, the in the building over there, that confidence rolling. But I'm going to take this perspective right here, Luke, for me. When I look at this week's game, I guess it's Monday night game against Seattle, it's the last chance that this team has to salvage the season. I mean, because let's be honest, man. The expectations coming into this season were to win 10 or more games.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations coming into this season were to get to the second round or beyond in the playoffs. The expectations were through the roof. So unless you're just going to lower your expectations for this team, then they've got to win Monday night. And I'm going to tell you, I was listening to Texans All Access, I believe it was Monday this week on the way home.
You can miss me with this freaking nonsense.
No, I'm not going to miss you, Johnny. I'm going to hit you square in the nose with it. Andre Ware. I'm talking to Andre Ware. No, I'm not talking. I'm listening to Andre Ware. And he just confidently, I mean, that guy right there. I mean, zero doubt about it, said, look, if the Texans, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but this is the point. If the Texans are ever going to win a Super Bowl, they're going to have to get home field advantage throughout. Okay, so again, and he just said it, and Mark Vandermeer and everybody just kept on conversation, just rolling along. You know, it was like everybody agreed, like it wasn't far-fetched.
I am just saying.
If that is a reality, which I think very highly of Andre Ware's opinion, watches every game, watches film, knows the organization inside and out. If that is even remotely close to being true, then this ship has sailed if you come home after Monday Night Football 2-4, and the only two teams you've beat have literally been two of what might be the worst franchises in football, right? I know they are right now. They may be the worst in football coming into the season.
Right.
Right? I mean, so that part of when Andre Ware, somebody like that is bringing that to the table, and he didn't say anything wrong. His point was you're going to have to get, you know, can't go to Kansas City, can't go to Buffalo, can't go to what used to be Baltimore and think you're going to win three of those games to get to a Super Bowl. Just it's going to be significantly more difficult than really, you know, you can handle if you're the Texans or anybody for that matter, right? And number three for me is C.J. Stroud's contract is right around the corner. And now, look, I don't want to assume because I do think that the downward trajectory of what we're looking at offensively has got to fall at the feet of C.J. Stroud at some degree. Like, you can't just watch rookie of the year, on the offensive side of the football, rookie year, and go, okay, I'm going to pay this guy $60 million a year. Last year was not a terrible year for C.J. Stroud. In fact, I think it's couched probably a little bit more negative than it really was if you take into consideration that it was a kid's second year. But the reality was the expectations, the bar was set high after what he did his rookie year, right? And then you go out there and you win 10 games, although the offensive product wasn't great. You win 10 games, and now that bar and that standard is still extremely high. If the offense continues to that downward trend and continues to be the reason why you're not viewed as a true contender, the reason why you can't win games because you can't score points, I don't know how the franchise goes and pays $60-plus million for the quarterback that's been here those years. However, if they do, it is going to be significantly more difficult, Luke, for this team to become a team that can win 10, that can go to the second round of the playoffs, or that can get home field advantage throughout to win a Super Bowl. It's going to be significantly more difficult if, one, they got to find another quarterback, or two, they pay C.J. Stroud $65 million and don't have the money to go around.
Yeah, for sure. I've always said I'm a C.J. Stroud guy. I don't think you can do what he did that rookie season and not ever replicate at least a certain part of that. Right? You don't just fall off a cliff and disappear the rest of your career. So I am a C.J. Stroud guy, but to your point, and I've had this conversation with Ron before, that if you pay the quarterback, obviously, it keeps you from putting enough talent around him. So that quarterback has to be able to elevate the rest of the offense and win with less pieces around them. And I know, like Bucky Brooks always calls it, are they a truck or are they a trailer? Are they pulling the team to victory, or does the team have to kind of guide them to a victory? And for C.J. Stroud, even if you don't blame him for the offensive struggles completely for the last 2 years, I think we've seen enough where you can't devote 20% of your salary cap, 25% of your salary cap to this quarterback when obviously he still needs more help to have a successful and winning offense here in Houston. And there's also been no team to ever win a Super Bowl when they're devoting more than 20%, which now people are doing with these quarterbacks, when they're spending that much on their quarterback. Those teams have not won a Super Bowl because it is so hard. So there's very few guys I'd pay that much money to, like a Mahomes, a Josh Allen, probably Lamar Jackson, these guys that can win with less around them. I'm not saying C.J. Stroud can't do that, maybe at some point, but to this point, he's shown that obviously he still needs more help here in Houston because this offense, especially the first 3 weeks this year, was a mess where you see other guys, you know, Baker Mayfield elevating his players around him. Sam Darnold in Seattle, who we'll see Monday night. Jared Goff in Detroit, who now has plenty of talent around him. But there's these other guys that have been able to get the most out of their offenses where that just hasn't happened here in Houston the last 2 years.
Yeah, you know, that is an interesting, that's a great conversation to have at some point. I don't want to let it down a vine or burn it too quick here, but the C.J. Stroud, and has C.J. Stroud been like, there's a D'Amico Ryan C.J. Stroud issue if this doesn't happen. You know what I mean? I've said it from jump. I mean, like when your head coach goes out there and you do have the quarterback and you prove to have the quarterback, and then all of a sudden you start running through offensive coordinators, guys that have never called plays before, and it doesn't work. When you start rebuilding an offensive line and it doesn't work, when you 1 year have a five-headed monster as all these explosive weapons, and the next you got Nico Collins, right? And you're drafting all these pieces trying to replace. Like, there's a conversation of how bad has the organization, really, Nick and D'Amico, if CJ doesn't get that second contract here in Houston, how bad did Nick and D'Amico have to fail the young fella for that to be the case? There's a conversation there. Whether you agree or disagree, there's a conversation there at some point that we may have to flesh out down the road. Boys, I went a little road trip this past weekend, and I circled back to one of my old methods. I circled back to when you're driving alone or you're driving tired. I went back to the sunflower seeds, man.
Mm. Not a bad strategy.
Is there anything more satisfying than getting to your location, having a water bottle that is full of chewed sunflower seeds that you spit into it?
Solid road trip snack. Absolutely. Well, especially in that circumstance.
Now, we can't just call this a snack now, because I don't necessarily...
That's fair.
I obviously don't get full off of it, but I do not appreciate the fact that by the time I get there, my mouth is raw from the salt that's on the seed.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
But Tyler, what this is and this is having gone to the University of Arkansas, there's some serious road trips, 9 hours back in the day,
mm-hmm.
that were started probably a little too late because I didn't want to leave home. I was a little homesick.
I never really considered that. That's a long-ass trip.
I'm going to tell you, man, sunflower seeds, Chick-fil-A ice, and beef jerky.
Beef jerky is a good one, too.
You talking road trip snacks or to keep you awake?
I'm talking keep me awake. I don't know if I got another hour to go. How am I going to make it? I'm telling you, man, those are the three. And if I had to rank them, it'd go sunflower seeds, Chick-fil-A ice, beef jerky's last.
Specifically from Chick-fil-A, the
ice.
Oh,
it's not necessarily specifically from.
Okay.
But that kind.
I got you.
What do they call that?
Sonic ice.
Sonic ice. There you go. Not Chick-fil-A. See, that's kind of date. You think my old ass would be the one calling it Sonic ice. But
it's the Lord's ice. Yeah.
I mean, it is the best, man. It is. When I go to a house party that has the ice machine that makes that kind of ice, huge kudos. Huge plus to the.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The bride of the house. the lady of the house, I guess, because she could be a girlfriend. Hell, it's maybe her house.
Aren't y'all remodeling? Oh, it's not your pantry or anything. Y'all remodeling a utility room. I was going to say you're remodeling, get you one of them ice machines, bro.
A utility room would be a great place to have a
true.
Problem is, I've got a dining room with a bar and a big pantry and a kitchen. I mean, I got plenty of room to put an ice machine. I don't think that's on my wife's radar. She's not a big ice eater, so I don't. That would be on me and her father's list of. You know,
not into the frozen form of the water.
As long as we can put some shoes on a shelf and hang them backpacks up, Mama's going to be happy, brother. There ain't no doubt about it. All right, now look, the Rockets starters, they went into the second half last night, pretty good ways into the second half last night. And what it looked like? And why does one Rocket not get the love and respect that he deserves, damn it? I'm going to tell you who that is. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 16.
I'm so high on the Rockets.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Tyler Milner's on the ones and twos. Appreciate everybody out there listening to The Drive any way that you can. Tuning in to Houston Sport Leaders, Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610, whether you're listening on that AM dial, old school, or you're on that FM HD2 dial, appreciate that, 100.3 HD2, that's how I listen, or your YouTube and Twitch, we greatly appreciate everybody watching the video stream as well, but also I want to encourage everybody out there, that Odyssey app, AUDACY, download that Odyssey app, keep it on your hip, take us everywhere that you go. The Rockets, boys, the Rockets played last night, they got one more preseason game before they crank this thing up. I believe that's correct, right, Luke? They got one more preseason game.
Yes, sir.
But they played the New Orleans Pelicans last night, and they won 130-128. Not a lot of defense being played right there, but this game, it actually was, had a lot of, I mean, there was some physicality and some defense. Not that I'm a NBA preseason aficionado. I've not watched a ton of preseason NBA action, so I don't know what it typically looks like. But I know last night for the Rockets, the plan was to treat it as much like a regular season game as you can, a preseason game, if that makes sense. That was the approach for the coach and for the squad, and they kept their starting lineup out there a little bit longer, I think, than they typically do. And last night, Luke, they went with the big lineup. Amen Thompson, obviously KD, Jabari Smith Jr., Alpi Shingun, and Adams. You know, that big lineup, or that double big lineup that they call it, and which they got a lot of run out of last year, was really, really good for them. I got to imagine this year that with Capella in the mix, I got to imagine they may even lean into it a little bit more. I mean, wouldn't you think, Luke?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the whole offseason was kind of built around with the pieces they brought in. They focused more on size and those forwards than they did the guards. So I think, they're going all in on this idea of this big lineup.
Two guys stood out last night. I mean, it was a good night for the Rockets overall with the starters playing into the second half. But the Amen Thompson had a solid evening, 21 points, 5 rebounds, and in 24 minutes of work.
I feel like Kobe.
I think the big thing that stuck out for Amen Thompson last night, so much so that the commentators mentioned it multiple times, free throws and three-point percentage. Last night he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And he was 2 of 3. I believe he was 7 of 7. Did he get a couple more? I know he's 100%.
Yeah, 9 of 9.
9 of 9. So he did get 2 more. So as he was making 8 and 9 is when they were having this conversation. He was 100% from the free throw line, looked very, very comfortable, obviously. And from the 3-point line, he was 2 of 3. And I literally saw 2 of those. One he missed and one that went in. He looks a lot more comfortable, you know, setting his feet and stroking the basketball. So I don't know what that means moving forward, but it was a good night for him. 2 struggles last year, struggle points for him last year where he shot it better and seemed to be more comfortable last night. And then also Jabari Smith Jr. had him a night. 22 minutes, 26 points, 4 of 10 from the three-point line. He was actually was shooting a higher percentage from the three-point line earlier in the game. He missed a couple late, but he had a good night and kind of stood out on the floor. And that's where I want to start with this, Luke, and I know you cover him closely, and I feel like Jabari Smith Jr. is a guy that doesn't get the love and respect that he deserves. We spent a lot of time, and I thought it was last year because there was a lot of, call it controversy, whatever you want, should this guy play, should that guy play, how many minutes should he get, should he be, you know, should he be your predominant ball guy or what? And I thought this last year. I just remember when I'm watching the Rockets, I'm like, we don't talk about Jabari Smith. And I felt that last night. I'll be damned if the first preseason action that I watched, you know, at length, if I'm not sitting there going, Jabari's the one that really, you talk about spacing the floor, knocking down shots, and the all the other stuff that his big frame brings to the floor. Isn't he the one that's a much bigger piece of this than I know what I've and you know what we've allotted time to talk about the Rockets. It seems like he's always on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a much bigger piece of this as I'm watching him than maybe our conversations would suggest.
Yeah, I think he will be. I mean, props to B. Scott, who we'll catch up with later on. But when I was talking with him last week, he kind of put me on that idea of watch Jabari. He has already, you know, B. Scott was saying Jabari Smith has already improved so much in terms of like creating and finding his own shot instead of a year ago where he needed more help from others to kind of set him up. Now right. He's and look, this was the big thing when they brought in Durant, of people pointing to the fact of like these two work out together. This is going to be a huge benefit for Jabari Smith. And so I think quietly or in a sneaky fashion, he could be the one that takes. We're talking about a man needing to take this step forward in Alpi, but yeah, it could be Jabari Smith. And I think the other part of it all, too, is when you bring in a Durant. I remember a former big league baseball player told me that, you know, sometimes when you finally give that guy their big contract, it just takes that load off their weight. They don't have to worry about it anymore. They could go out there, play a little looser, and be even better.
Yeah.
And I think it could be similar here that when you bring in Durant, for all these guys in the Rockets team, that you know, like, when you need a bucket, you have that guy now in Kevin Durant. And so I think it allows everyone else to relax a little bit, maybe not press as much or have as much pressure on them, and you can play a little looser, play more of your game, and that's where I think Jabari Smith, but the other guys as well, can improve just in that sense of, like, you don't have to worry so much about or work so hard to get a basket because shot clock's winding down or end of the game. You know you have that guy, and there's just that confidence that can make you more comfortable on the offensive end as well.
Well, I mean, that's clear with KD. I mean, that's one other thing you watching last night. I mean, that just when he's working that elbow-to-elbow free throw line area and he's got his back to the basket and he can turn and shoot over anybody, and it just seems so effortless for him. It is so – I mean, like, as a fan watching, like – I love the guys that we've had, all these youngsters that have come through here. But everything is so damn difficult. You know what I mean? Like last year watching the Rockets, loved watching the run. I love the physicality and the hustle and the defense and love it. Everything's so damn difficult,
mm-hmm.
right? And KD goes out there. There's a certain level of effortlessness. As I'm speaking, he's shooting the old Dirk Nowitzki knee in the chest fadeaway, right? But, I mean, it's just – there it is. That's the one I watched. But it just seems like it's just so damn easy. To your point, is it's got to take the pressure off of everybody else. We spend so much time, though, Luke, and just to put a bow on this thing, we spend so much time talking about the development of Amen Thompson, the development of Reed Shepard. Can Reed Shepard be a guy that can just be a spot-up shooter and be dead-eye, right? All these guys. And in reality, if we're talking about development and how certain guys developing can help this team, then sure, that's where the conversation should go. But I look at Jabari Smith as, to your point, yes, a guy that has developed, but I look at him as more just a guy. If he's on the floor and does what he does well, he makes this team better. Last year, he had to fight for minutes. Last year, he had to fight for starts. Last year it was tough for him to get on the floor, and it just seems like, once again, I turned on last night and watched 20 minutes of Rockets basketball, and I'm like, I can get down with this Jabari Smith. By the way, are we buying or selling Skinny Zion? Did you watch any of that game last
night? Yeah.
He looks good, but I just don't, it doesn't look right. I need fluffy Zion back out there.
Until they start losing and they need some comfort food, I'm buying.
Yeah, no, he's a yo-yo. He's going to put the weight back
on. Oh, what a mess. I mean, you put him with a weight problem in New Orleans. Boy, that's a recipe for disaster. All right, D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, he spoke yesterday post-bye week. He spoke directly about the biggest obstacle for the Texans come Monday night versus Seattle. We'll tell you what that is next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. And we are rocking and rolling. It is a game week. Last week was bye week for the Houston Texans. Now we've got another slow and easy weekend for everybody here in the city because the Texans don't play until Monday night. Prime time, baby. Monday night football. This is a good chance for me to remind y'all. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. As I said, the Texans, they go to Seattle Monday night in a big time primetime matchup, and this is a monster game on the schedule for the Texans, given how this thing has laid out. Let's be honest, the Texans have given themselves zero room for grace down the stretch. All right, you start a season 2-3, you got to get on a streak late, and the problem is you're playing a first place schedule, and the problem is it goes through Seattle Monday night, one of the most difficult places to play. You know, not right now, but historically speaking, one of the more difficult places to play in the NFL, whether it's the weather or it's just how loud and raucous it gets down there. They've had a pretty good team a handful of years over the last 15 or 20. So Seattle has been a really, really tough place to play. I think when you look at this team this year, Luke, it's what stands out to me is on both sides of the football, I think they're probably better than people expected, right? Sam Darnold is a quarterback that they bring in, pairing with Clint Kubiak. Clint Kubiak's been really good with young quarterbacks and quarterbacks in general, and they're pretty damn good, right? But you look defensively, they've been in and out of statistically in and out of some of the top defenses in football to this point, right? 5 or 6 weeks into the season. And so I think when you and throughout the next several days and even into our show on Monday, we'll lead you up to Seattle. But I think whether it's today, Thursday, or Friday, or even next Monday, I believe that this matchup with the Houston Texans, it starts in one place, and it starts with the Seattle Seahawks defensive front. I think this is the biggest challenge for the Texans, given where our struggles have been offensively, as well as given kind of how we've improved over the last 2 weeks. The biggest challenge for the Houston Texans is the Seattle Seahawks defensive front. And DeMeco Ryans, he spoke to the media yesterday, and to no surprise, he believes that as well. Here's DeMeco Ryans talking about the Seattle Seahawks defensive front.
And starting up front with their defensive line, like the interior piece with their tackles, Murphy, Reed, Williams, they're really big guys inside, strong. It's hard to move those guys inside, so it starts there. And then on the edges, really smart players on the edge with Nwosu, with Mafe, with all the guys that they have, DeMarcus Lawrence, like all those guys done a really nice job on the edges. Their entire defense line, feel like that's the strength of their defense. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for us to handle their front. It's all going to start there. Any team that's been able to move the ball versus these guys, you have to do a good job versus their front. And they're good in the run game, also in the pass game with the stunts that they run. They don't have to pressure much because they get a lot of pressure with their front four guys. So, yeah, a huge challenge for us, challenge for our offensive line this week.
So, Monday when I was in, Luke, we highlighted the success that they had Sunday when they had 7 sacks. They had 16 quarterback hits, I believe, and 33 pressures and 42 snaps, I believe, is what the stats were, if my memory calls me. It doesn't fail me.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
When you put that on top of D'Amico Ryans, has been watching film obviously for a week and a half now, and his belief is this thing starts in the trenches with whether we can move and have success and protect with this defensive line. I got to believe this is where the matchups are going to start every week moving forward for the Texans.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what almost goes back to our original conversation today about, you know, the opportunity to buy in on Monday. And if things don't go well on Monday, how can you continue to buy in moving forward? And it's similar to the offensive line. I mean, you know, they played well enough in those two victories. Nick Caserio's been pumping up the tires the last 2 weeks here during the bye week. But this is the real test, and I always compare it. I bring this up all the time, probably because it was so scarring, but being the youngest of three boys, I always compare it to, I would compete well against my friends, feel good about myself, and then my brothers would come out to the driveway and put me in my place and show me, you're not as good as you think you are. And so I think it's similar here, where this is the real measuring up game for this offensive line of, yeah, you've done well the last two victories, but against two teams that are two of the worst in the league at pressuring the quarterback. Now, this is the real measuring stick of, let's see how good this offensive line truly is. You mentioned the numbers for the Seahawks. They've blitzed only 16% of the time this year, and yet they're top five in the league in pressure rate. So they can get after you with just their defensive line without having to send more guys. And I know in the text line people were saying earlier, from our earlier conversation, you know, this is a huge Stroud game. Stroud needs to show how good he is. And talking with Seth the last couple of days, he was saying there's some missed opportunities from Trevor Lawrence in that game. So I think not only the offensive line, but this is also that opportunity for Stroud in the face of some of that pressure to show that you are this good quarterback that we've seen at times, more so than a Trevor Lawrence, and you can handle some of this stuff because the Jaguars could not on Sunday. But most definitely, that's the biggest matchup, is how well can you handle this defensive front for Seattle and give your offense some time to be able to operate against a good defense for once.
Well, if you don't believe Luke and what he's saying, listen to this right here. This is D'Amico Ryans. You just heard him talking about Seattle's defensive front. Now, if you flip it and say, hey, what has worked offensively for you the last 2 weeks? Here's the head coach answering that question.
The things that worked the past couple weeks offensively is just us being able to stay committed to the run game and run the football. Right, you can run the ball. You can sustain drives. That's the key. Right, and that'll be the key for us moving forward. We can do that. We can control the line of scrimmage, get positive plays in the running game. That allows Kaylee, right, to be able to open up the playbook and call whatever he wants, whatever he's installed that particular week. Everything is at his disposal when you can stay on schedule, and that's what it's been the past 2 weeks.
You put those two pieces of audio together, I think you've got ultimately what this game boils down to. Again, Seattle's defensive front, as you said, when you talk about defensive football, there's all kind of different schemes at work. There's all kind of different pressure and bend don't breaks and yada, yada, yada. There's guys that have edge rushers. There's guys that have monsters inside. There's guys that have both, right? But when you talk about a really good defense, right, typically that what the most powerful aspect of defense is, can you stop the run and can you pressure the quarterback with just your down four? I don't care if you're playing a 3-4. I don't care if you're playing a 4-3. I don't care. I don't care what your scheme is or isn't. If you can pressure the quarterback with your down four, if you can stop the run with your down four, you are going to be one of the best defenses in whatever league you're in, year out. And right now, again, through what is this, the third of the season so far?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's going fast. Yep. Through a third of the season so far, Seattle, more times than not, have proven to be a team that can do that. And then you couple that with the success where we've seen the Texans offense do well and put good product out there and score points and move the football. It's been because they were able to handle, at least according to DeMeco Ryans, because they were able to handle the opponent's defensive front. They were able to run the football. They were able to stay ahead of the chains. And so now I hope there comes a day, by the way, Luke, I hope there comes a day where winning and losing football games isn't dependent on the scheme and players staying at keeping the offensive coordinator in a perfectly comfortable situation right every damn drive just to score points. At some point, we've got to be able to overcome those. I understand the emphasis. Good football teams stay ahead of the chains. Good football teams don't take sacks. Good football teams, they fall forward. They don't fall back. I get it. But at some point in time, we've got to become a football team that isn't just trying to accomplish the very basic of just staying ahead of the chains. At some point, we've got to be so explosive or so good schematically or have a quarterback that is cerebral enough and lethal enough to, hey, we get into a second 10 or a second 12, no worries, man, we got you. We got plays for that. The whole thought of like leaning into, and we've heard offensive coordinators around here early this season as well as really Bobby Sloak all year last year, talking about how the third down and long playbook is really thin. There's not much out there. Well, I mean, I would argue that the good ones find a way. The good ones find a way to get that done. And so we shall see. But this week, the big matchup between the Texans and the Seattle Seahawks is going to be at the line of scrimmage, and I believe it's going to be our offensive line versus their defensive line. Can we force Seattle to have to bring – safeties and linebackers out of coverage to where we're dictating, okay, now I know we got you in man and I know I've got you in middle field closed and I've got a soft corner. Now we can throw our screen game. Now we can throw our quick game. And now we're dictating what's going on. Or are we sitting back and just trying to respond to everything they throw at us? Right? Can we get to a point where we're dictating? We did that against Baltimore. We did this. I say we. The Texans did this against Tennessee for more than just the fourth quarter. I mean, there were two balls that were missed earlier in that ball game that I think would have given you a two-score, three-score lead early on that would have the whole narrative around that game would have been completely different. So we've really seen it for 2 weeks. We've seen the conservative approach, stay ahead of the chains, run the football, check the football down, and then we just missed the shots early in the Tennessee game. We've hit them ever since then. CJ has hit them ever since then. And so we've been able to separate. Can the Texans get to that point where they can take calculated risk instead of everybody in the stadium knowing you got to throw the ball? Good luck.
Yeah, and can they do it against a defensive front like Seattle? Right? Yeah. I mean, that's the million-dollar question on Monday night. And as you already laid out, I mean the Seahawks, you know, you always point back to like those Giants teams that won the Super Bowl with Eli Manning and the defensive line and how they were able to get after Tom Brady. Those were good pass rushers. They weren't so good against the run. But this Seahawks team, not only are they top five in pressure rate, they're number two in rush defense. So, like, this defensive line does a little bit of everything. It's tough. I know what DeMeco and the Texans want to do. I don't know if they'll be able to do it because this is a tough team to run the football against as well. It's actually probably even tougher. So, it's going to be – it's a huge test Monday night, and it comes down to those trenches.
Where are they at, Luke, in scoring defense?
Oh,
where are they at in score? I know I mentioned this about 3 weeks ago, and I saw this, it was one of those moments where I saw a graphic, and it was really highlighting the fact that the Texans were the number one scoring defense in the NFL. And I was like, hell yeah, this is good. These guys are kicking ass, man. This is good stuff. And then I started looking down, Luke. Guess who 2 through 6 was? opponents on our schedule. Yeah. And Seattle, point was, Seattle was one
sixth.
Of them. They're sixth, right? So they're a top six scoring defense. And at the time when I looked at it, I think Jacksonville was up there. Arizona was up there. So it was one of those where it just like every seemed like every team on that damn every team other than the Texans was on that schedule. So there you have it. They're one of the better scoring defenses in the league as well. This is a monster matchup, and it starts in the trenches with our offensive line versus their defensive line. All right, do the Rockets have a legit NBA MVP candidate on their roster not named Kevin Durant? You heard me. Not named Kevin Durant. Carmelo Anthony thinks so. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.